Hey, Vanya.
Hi.
We're doing it. We're making it work.
Yes, we are. We are doing it. We're making it work.
So it's always a little bit of a technical, like, is it going to work this time? Is it not?
Isn't that why? We've been doing it. How many years? 5 years?
We're like in our fifth season, I want to say. So it's been going on a while, but there's always something. And I will say this, and I could have kept this for my, like, could do without, but frankly, we haven't talked in a while. So I have a few of them.
Samesies.
But like my headphones, so I'm going to call it out. And I feel like I've talked this before. Like, I've been using Bose headphones for legitimately a decade.
Right.
Like, I've been using them for so long. And as the technology, like, I went from, you know, normal wired headphones to the one that has like the single wire that I kind of miss. I kind of like that more than the new ones that are just buds, but they disconnect from my phone constantly. Like, I had to reconnect them like 3 times yesterday. And I think, and this is just me thinking, I think it's a weird, like, pissing match between Apple and Bose, because Bose wants you to use their technology and Apple wants you to use theirs.
100%.
So I think there's and I'm just like, come on, let's figure this out. Like, it's been very, very aggravating.
That's not fair.
We're currently, everything's working now. I can hear you in my headphones. Can you hear me in yours?
Yes, I can. I know. I'm like just making sure you're not also coming through the speakers of the computer, just so I'm not recording you as well. Because, you know, we've done that before where you've had to.
Yes, we have done that. That's super fun.
Welcome to our masterclass on podcasting. Haha.
I know, right? We're basically professionals at this point.
Should be.
How are you? Have you been? It's been so long. I mean, I guess we could talk about Christmas season.
Yeah, we can. That's right. It has been long. I'm doing okay today. Christmas was, we went to, I mean, most people know that I live in California and near Los Angeles, just north of it by a couple miles, but anyways, we'll get into that. But
yeah, we'll definitely get into that.
But Christmas was good. We flew to Washington State, did Christmas with the family. Adam and I got a hotel room for 2 days, which honestly was quite the game changer, because it's like, I don't know how to explain this, but it's just nice to have your own space, you know? And I know you do that too sometimes at the end of your, you know, time coming, going there to see your mom and stuff like that, but because she didn't have her house. But I just really like having a place where I can, like, just, you know, when you become an adult, it's just different, right? It's not like when you're a kid.
Absolutely.
So it was really nice. And we did actually, the kids stayed with one grandparent one night and then my parents the other night. And honestly, I would do it with, then we brought them over and they got to swim in the pool that, you know, it was cold outside. So it was cool, but it was also like kind of like steamy, and it was right on the water where we like to walk, you know, the hotel was. So it was fun. I really, we'll do it again. And then coming home for New Year's Eve, I decided to, because I'm crazy, I wanted to have a party because, you know what, we had no plans. And I was like, you know what, we'll just invite anybody who wants to come and it'll be like kind of chill. And we were supposed to get home at like 2 o'clock, and Adam, it was his fault. I blame him because he put it into the air. But he's like, what if our flight's delayed? I'm like, not going to happen, Adam. Don't put that out in there. And of course it was delayed. We got home 30 minutes before people came over. I ordered Domino's and Wingstop. And Adam went out and got alcohol. People brought alcohol. It was fun. We had a blast. And there was lots of kids there. But it was like, I like slapped on some red lipstick because, you know, that's one way to just seem like you're fancy.
Right.
Anywho.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of fun when those things just sort of like come together quickly sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Because it takes away some of the pressure for sure. Like, I would have been like futzing with things. The house wasn't even totally clean. I had to be like, everyone, come on. And the kids are hard to get motivated to do it. They just don't understand like the like need of, you know, has to be done now. So right. I'm like yelling at everybody, screaming. But we sang karaoke. We had a blast. My friend Rosie and her boyfriend Felipe came and a bunch of other people.
Nice.
It was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a weird one because I had like a good Christmas Eve. And like I was here in the city. And you know me, I'm still kind of figuring it out and kind of figuring out like what my holidays in New York are like.
Right.
And I ended up seeing Wicked a third time on Christmas Day with my friend Dana, because she hadn't seen it. So we actually got together because we live on opposite sides of a fairly nearby movie theater. So we kind of like met in the middle and saw it and then like went for a walk. And I know that I talked about it before. I love that movie. I think they did such a beautiful job with it. And everyone in it is so magical.
Yes.
And then the day after Christmas, I think Christmas night, like I woke up a couple of times and was like, I feel strange. But, you know, it had been a long day and I hadn't slept a whole lot. Christmas Eve, I was up kind of late, but then made myself get up early because I had to get things done. And I was like, oh, I'm probably just tired and I'm probably just like dealing with that. I haven't been so sick.
Oh, no.
I can't remember the last time that I was so sick. Like, and I took a COVID test the day after Christmas and it came back negative. Huh. And I never had like typical, like, I've never knowingly had COVID. So I don't know how it would manifest for me, but I was so like achy.
Oh, no.
And like, but sweating, like I could not control my body temperature. Like I was either sweating like a crazy person or literally, I want to say the night after Christmas, I woke up and was so cold. I was freezing cold. And I think part is because I had sweat so much that like my blankets were kind of like damp. Wet. So like I was like lying in like wet, cold blankets. But the idea of getting out of bed and going to my living room to get, because I have a really, really warm blanket that I keep in the living room for when it gets cold or whatever.
Yeah.
The idea of going to get that felt like torture. And I finally just had to be like after an hour of lying in bed and shivering.
Yeah.
I was like, you have to get up. You have to get up and go get this. And when I tell you that I trembled, like I was convulsing, shaking.
Oh my God, call
the doctor. Walking to the living room. It was terrible. And like brought the blanket back and then just laid in bed and sweat. Like sweat so much that then the next day was like, well, I can't sleep in these sheets tonight. Like, so right. Thankfully, another thing I was going to bring up is that my laundromat's back.
Oh,
the
good.
One that's like, thank goodness. So I, even in that like state of feeling so terrible, I like put all of my bedding into the laundry and wash it all, and which was good. It was a good thing that I was able to get that done.
Yeah.
And I started feeling better soon after that. So it was really only like 2 or 3 days of really feeling bad. But I don't know. And I will say that like New York in general was pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like everyone was dealing with something. There was a lot going around.
My sister-in-law came home and she was like in her room for 5 days. I felt so bad for her. She didn't like, we got to see her on like the last day we were there because she wasn't sure what it was. It didn't come back as COVID either. You guys must have had like the bird flu or something.
Something like that. It was wild. Like, once again, I am someone who rarely gets sick.
Totally.
And when I do, it's like a 24-hour thing. Like, it's 24 hours of me feeling bad, and then it's over. So the
magic.
Fact that it was like, yeah, I'm pretty magical. That, like, you know, by New Year's Eve, it was basically better. But, like, I didn't do anything. It was kind of, I'm gonna say this. Like, New Year's Eve is a rough day for many reasons. It's my mom's birthday,
right.
And that's always a little bit in the back of my mind. But then it was also, like, because I wasn't doing anything, it was so isolating.
Yeah, you
know, like,
can't
I just felt very, like, sad and alone, and it was fine. Like, I bought a piece of cake, and I went and took some pictures in the park. I think I shared with you what I think is going to be the album cover for for my next album. And so, like, I, you know, it wasn't, like, a day of destitution, but it was just kind of a bummer. It was a bummer of a New Year's Eve. And yeah, for sure.
So maybe that's next year. Maybe next year you just come and do New Year's Eve with us. And now I have practice having a party, and I'll do even better next year.
Yeah, I do know that for me, I need to be around people, and I do want to get out to see you. And that can kind of bring us into our next thing is just that, like, I don't know when it will be respectful to visit Los Angeles,
now.
You know, like, do you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think
absolutely.
Things are?
I mean, here's the thing. This is what's scary about it. The two huge fires, the one in the Palisades and the one in Eaton, or, you know, it was in Altadena. I have two very close friends who lost their homes, and of course, many, many others.
Right.
But they're only 30 miles away. But the other scary thing is we're only like 20 some miles away from Altadena. So it's like the idea of that it could have been us too. We're in a really windy area up here. It's like these last couple of weeks, even right now, our area is still on a fire watch because of the high winds. I will say where I live, there's many people who work in the fire department. You know, their homes are up here. Their families are up here. And not that that means it's going to be safe up here, but I've been hearing, I have some good friends my good friend, her husband is a firefighter. And so I'm getting some inside information, which kind of makes me feel a little bit more at ease. Because I was really, I didn't let myself relax for close to 2 weeks. And guess what? It's boohoo me. But like, that really messes you up. Like, I could barely even get off the couch. Like, I was just like paralyzed with fear and worry. And I even called Katie, our mutual friend, yeah, your close friend. I was like, just come up here. And then I was like, what if it's, I was even like, what if it's unsafe here? Oh my God. Because it's not just like, she was in Eagle Rock, but yeah, it's like the air quality was so bad. And my friend Rosie and her boyfriend Felipe came and stayed with us for a couple nights and honestly, that was the best thing that happened, because it finally took me away from watching the news and looking, like refreshing my watch duty app, which is where it was just really, really stressful. But all that is to say, you gotta come. It's fine where we're at. And honestly, my favorite beach was under fire watch that I want to take you to, which is Carpinteria. It's so cute. And even down in South Bay, it's fine. I like definitely not do Santa Monica or Venice or Palisades or Malibu. I would maybe stick. That's not true. Malibu's pretty good. Anywho, the point is, come. It's not disrespectful to come. And also, we could even figure out a way to volunteer or help if you come, if you want to do that for a day or something, you know?
Yeah, it's been because, you know, obviously living on the other side of the country, I know there's a certain amount of, it was funny, I was just listening to a podcast where they were talking about, and it's not a news podcast, it's a screenwriting podcast, but it's one screenwriter right now on this episode who's based in LA and one who is based in New York, and sort of talking about how it is such a huge, horrible thing that's happening in this country, but it doesn't feel like a national crisis.
Right.
Like, it feels like a local crisis, I think, that's happening in one area. But because I have you there, yeah, and because I have my friend Katie that you were talking about, I'm like, they were so lucky. Like, they were just literally on the other side of the freeway.
Right.
You know, and they did leave for a few nights because they, you know, they needed to get, because it was so close. Yeah. And it's also that thing where, like, she had been texting before anything ever happened, just being like, the winds are so strong.
It was insane.
And it's so unnerving. And it's so, and part of me was like, it's wind. Like, why don't, it's not, you know. And then it happened. And I was like,
oh my
God.
Did you see the videos?
My cousin Billy,
oh, yeah,
who lives like in an area that's never been affected before. And they had to evacuate. And the videos that he was taking were like apocalyptic.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was insane what we were seeing.
His home was okay, or did it?
I think so. I haven't seen any follow-up, but I think from everything I've heard, his, yeah, place is fine.
And did you know that fire creates its own wind? I'm learning so many things by knowing firefighters. I'm really fascinated by all of this. And did you know that nothing is fireproof? Nothing. Not even concrete. Sorry, that should have been my random fact.
No, I mean, sure, that can be a random fact now, but it's a thing that I think about as they rebuild. What do we learn? Like, what have we learned? Can you learn anything from it?
I mean, it's, you know, a thing that every 100 years, it seems to be the earth kind of, like, remember San Francisco burned down. You know, I don't know if there's anything we could do. It's like, I really truly think, and I'm very much interested in, like, I'd love to sit on a board or sit on the association of somebody where we're trying to figure out what is the best, most safe way to build houses in a fire area, or, you know, I mean, our whole country is, and world is getting drier and drier and warmer,
right,
and colder and warmer and colder. So it's like, we really do, it behooves us to learn how best to build. And maybe we have certain kind of trees that aren't, because the problems are the embers were catching, they were flying like, you know, 100 meters and catching another house,
right,
where maybe one row of houses, which not really, but like were safe, but because those embers were flying. I mean, I saw something on the news, which I don't know if this is real, but, or on, like, you know, Instagram, but it was like a guy who was ex-military was like, he had put flame retardant on the side of his house and had sprinklers going on the top in his home, and like a couple other homes were okay. But I'm like, I think that's kind of like a freak. None of us are going to be putting up, you know, sprinklers on the top of our house. And it's like, we need to get smart. Is that what it is? Is there something where it just like sprays, like, anyway, I agree with you. What I'm saying is, I agree with you. We have to get smarter. And
yeah,
I think people want to, because especially both areas, like my very close friends just bought their dream home in Altadena, and they've only been in it since May. And, you know, they didn't offer any fire insurance there. So they have nothing.
Yeah.
So we're trying to raise money for them. But every single thing, it's like a drop in the bucket, because You know, and here's another fun, not so fun fact. You still, I mean, I guess this is, goes without saying, but I didn't know. You still have to pay your mortgage if your house is gone. You, there are things that you can like do to like delay paying your, you know, your monthly mortgage. You don't have to pay insurance or property tax anymore, but I think I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me, but you have to pay your mortgage. You still owe that money to the bank, and you still have to pay, like if you're a part of an HOA, you still have to pay that. So it's like these things where I honestly, like, because I don't have a typical job, you know, I'm freelance and I owning my own business currently. And all, you know, I've worked in the field where I have been a full-time employee, where I've had a 401k and I have, but my savings or my retirement is really truly like owning property. And I'm like, if that right. goes, I just never thought that was a possibility. You know, obviously it is, but yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very distressing. And once again, even for me on this side of the country, it's just like a thing that I'm sort of obsessively thinking about. And I guess it's just...
Because it's hard to be feel helpless. They can't help. And even with myself, like I've donated money and I've donated, you know, items, but I still am like, you know what made me think of you, Mike, is like they were like, one of the places were really in need of contact solution. Oh. And that's what I got, because I was like, I know how bad Mike needs contact solution. And so I bet these people really need it. You know, can you imagine? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's all the talk of, you know, I don't mean this at all to, you know, belittle the situation, but there's all the talk of like, well, do we postpone award season? Do we cancel award season? And like, even, you know, I mean, it's not hard to figure out this is, but like Jean Smart had a thing of like, we should cancel award season and donate the proceeds. And I was like, well, you don't have proceeds if you don't have an award
exactly.
season. Like, it's not really how it works. And I don't want nothing to be done.
Yeah, I think that would hurt, because a lot of people right. are having PTSD from COVID, like when the pandemic was, like where you're like unsure. And I think the smart choice is truly to keep going. And maybe on the bottom, you have a thing where people can donate money towards the relief fund, like bring it out, like make awareness. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it would
agree.
Be a bad idea to not do it.
And the thing about people that like are employed by the things that happened during award season, and I hope that something is done, but I also hope that there is, I mean, I do think we have to maintain a certain amount of normalcy just to keep our lives going.
100%. I think the show must go on, which is true, because we always still have to entertain people when we're sad. I don't think we're going to feel bad about like seeing people. I mean, I honestly think I've watched movies with more clarity after this has happened. I didn't even lose my home. You know, when something crazy tragic happens, you like see colors brighter. I mean, it's kind of fucking crazy, but I'm just thinking that we need entertainment, and yes, we need to laugh, we need to cry. I think we got to keep it going. And if they make a dumb choice by not doing it, I will be a little furious.
I think it'll go on. I mean, they have postponed things and they kind of like changed the dates around, but I think they'll probably try to get things back on track now. And, you know, another thing that I was listening to recently that was saying like, not for nothing, but almost nothing makes change like a good story.
Yeah.
And that might, but like that is what can bring about change. It can bring about understanding the world better is storytelling. And I do think that ultimately that's what art does.
I agree. 100%.
Sort of, I guess, speaking of, there's our little segue. Like, what has been getting you through? What you digging these days? I have a bit of a list.
I'm excited for your list. I'm going to go quickly because I know you have to go in 10 minutes. I watched Flow with my kids. I loved it. We loved it. It's so cute. My little one was like, it's scary. I'm scared. Because it's just so intense. You don't know what's going to happen.
It is very intense. And that was my only worry was that when
they loved it.
Okay.
In the end.
Okay, good.
And then we watched Thelma and I loved that movie.
I need to watch that. That's on my list.
I loved it because, you know, it's like a, I have a lot, obviously. I'm behind, way behind, but I needed something to be light and to laugh.
Sure.
And it's an indie film gone perfectly well. I really love it. And I love the lead actress. I'm so sorry, I'm not going to remember her name at this point, but we could get to it after you watch it. I just think it's such a beautiful, it hits everybody. Because it's about aging, and we're all going to be aging, hopefully, you know?
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to really quickly before we move on to my stuff, like I do want to talk about Flow a little bit, because I went into Flow not having any idea what I was getting into.
Right.
Like it's one of the films that's being nominated in the animated category, and because I've done fairly well in that category, I was like, well, I'll go see this weird Flow movie that I don't know anything about. And then you know, it's a movie about a cat surviving a flood, or like trying to survive a flood, and how this, and all the animals are voiced by actual animals. Like the cat is voiced by a cat. Oh, so it's God. Only like meows and things like that. Yeah. And it was just like, so watching it, it's so, first of all, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Like it's so beautifully rendered. And then like, it's so lovely to hear these animals that are, you know, like it's just animal noises. And so it really, like any, you can speak no language, you can speak any language.
Totally, you can, and you can, you know, understand it.
And you can understand it. Like, you know what's happening. Like, anyways, I really, I'm so glad that you liked it. I definitely watched it with the thought of like, oh my gosh, I really want Vanya to see this. And I want the kids to see it.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of moments that are very intense. Yeah. A couple moments that I was like, ooh, that's going to be, that might be a little bit much. But I'm so glad they liked it. I'm glad that they enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's great. And there's another fun fact. I'm sprinkling fun facts. That movie was made with this, I guess, app or this software called Blender. So it was made in a different way, I think, using sort of AI, but like it makes it more accessible for people to do animation. And this was done in a better way.
It looked different. It didn't look like your typical drawing or like your typical CGI. Like it has a very specific look to it.
Which I would say, you know, I'm very much protective over our artists and animators, but the way this was done, I think, is the way that it's done successful, if it's done well. Yeah. Tell us what you're digging.
Yeah. What am I digging? All right. Well, for one thing, I will say that I finally saw Lee, which we've talked about.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Because we were talking about Kate Winslet. Listen, it makes me sad that it's not getting more notice. It's a really, really good film. Like, it's really well made. She's fantastic in it. The whole cast, like, it's like Marion Cotillard. Andy Samberg, like, plays a dramatic role in it. Like, which, who knew? Like, and he's really good. Like, it's a super solid cast. I understand it's not the easiest movie to watch. It's about a war photographer, a female war photographer that, for the record, I assumed was a man. I've heard this name before. Right. Like, I've heard of this person's you're going to recognize the photos. Like, when you watch the movie, you're going to say, oh, I've seen that before.
Wow. That's
like a fairly famous photograph that I didn't know was taken by this person, let alone that it was taken by a woman. And while I'm on that subject, I also saw a movie called The Fire Inside. And it's about a woman in Flint, Michigan, who is a boxer who, like, no spoiler alert, wins 2 gold medals at 2 different Olympic ceremonies.
Holy shit.
I've never heard of this person.
No.
Never heard of her before. And, like, in one respect, it was a pretty by-the-numbers sports movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It was a by-the-numbers sports movie about a woman of color who is poor and wins to, like, I just, it's those stories are out there, and I just want those stories to be told more. I just want to hear and see those stories. And anyways, it was also a very, very good movie. If you have a moment to see that,
I will.
Once again, I've seen a lot of stuff, so I'm talking about a lot of things. Severance is back. Severance season 2 just started.
Right.
It's pretty intriguing. I will say that I rewatched the finale of season 1. And it wasn't helpful because I was like, I remember all of this. I just don't remember why. Like, I don't remember how we got to this point. So our friend Katie actually sent me like a link to like a 15-minute season 1 recap that was much more helpful, where I was like, okay, this puts it all in context. And then watching the beginning of season 2, they do a very good job, because if you've seen season 1, you kind of get to the end and you're like, well, we could wrap this up in one episode. Like, I don't know how much more story there is to tell.
Right.
And they do a good job in season 2 of being like, oh nope, this is what we're actually gonna do now. So it's a good reset. I enjoyed it a lot. But the thing that I really want to talk about is The Pit.
Yes. I'm up to date with it, which, Mike, you know me.
You?
This is like surprising for me.
I wasn't sure if you were gonna be able to watch it.
I let Amelia watch it with me.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, you have to turn your both of the, because you know what? The kids won't leave me alone. And I'm like folding clothes, and I'm like, fine, you're watching this. And I was like, when I say close your eyes, close your eyes. And so I did.
Uh-huh. There are a couple of gruesome moments. That foot in the first episode is burned into my skull for the rest of my life, I think. I'm never gonna get over that.
Special effects. Like, we're talking real
really
special,
good
effects,
special effects.
Not like, you know, it's like practical.
But I'm really enjoying it. I didn't really know what it was gonna be. It's, you know, for those that don't know, it's a medical drama. It's by one of the writers of ER, and it stars Noah Wiley, famously from ER. It's directed by John Wells, who was the producer behind ER. It was originally intended to be an ER spinoff, or like an ER sort of reunion. Yes, it was. But they couldn't get permission from the Michael Crichton estate, so they sort of happily rewrote it. They were like, all right, let's just do our own thing and make our own show. And now, of course, they're being sued by the Michael Crichton estate, which I think is kind of hilarious. But it's a totally different show. Like, it is a different, it is its own beast. It was sort of written in honor of the medical professionals who worked through the COVID.
It's amazing.
Era. Yeah. And it's really well done.
And Noah's ripped. I love that it's now.
Yeah. Noah's looking good. Noah's doing well.
Because we watched the first episode of ER because it came on because there was no more. And I let the kids watch it with me. An hour and a half episode. And like a 13-year-old has a ectopic pregnancy. And I had to explain that to my daughter. But you know what? I made a choice. And okay, sorry. Keep going.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I literally last night finished. I've been rewatching ER and I just finished season 9 last night.
Oh, my God.
Which is kind of because now we're in the era where I'm like, yeah, I remember this happening. Like, I remember watching this. Anyways, The Pitt, I think it's really good. I'm so glad that you're enjoying it.
Love it.
I also love that it's not soapy. And
no,
I don't know if that
exactly.
sounds
That's
silly.
Why
but
I,
like,
was, I know all of my friends love Grey's, but there's a point where I just was like, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
But
it became just too soapy for me. And if you enjoy that, you enjoy it. I'm glad to find your
totally,
bliss. But
same.
For me, I love that this feels very much about the profession. It feels very much about the patients
like
and
I'm
the doctors.
Things.
And me too.
Like I talked to my friend who's a nurse and I was like, I have a question because she works ER. I was like, when you get stuff on your scrubs, do you have to go to like a machine to get your scrubs? She's like, it's different in different hospitals, but yeah. You have to put your stuff in and then you receive your scrubs back. It's a funny scene in one of the episodes, you'll see.
Yeah, it's good. And a really amazing cast of people that I don't know. Like, other than Noah Wiley, I don't really know any of the other actors that are in it. And it's fun seeing these new faces that are all, everyone's so good.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's so interesting to watch. So I'm very much enjoying that.
Yay, me too.
Yeah, and then I guess on the flip side, My Could Do Without is very, very silly. And that's simply that, like, why is every hour-long drama that I watch on Thursday? Legitimately.
That's
like,
weird.
The Pitt is Thursday, Matlock is Thursday, I'm watching Law & Order because Mara Tierney's on it, another ER connection, and that's on Thursday. Like, every drama that I watch is a Thursday night drama.
So do you spread it out, or do you watch it all?
No, I spread it out. Like, I'll usually watch, like, The Pitt the night it happens, and then I'll kind of, like, watch the other ones as the week goes on. But yeah, it's a pile-up. It's a Thursday night pile-up, for goodness sake.
Well, for my Could Do Without, there's quite a few things that are personal that I can't mention to mention.
Gotcha.
Being elusive here. But
I gotcha.
There's a lot of weight and people I love are hurting. And I just, it makes me, I want to help people. And, you know, sometimes you just have to sit there and be a person next to a person hurting. And that is really difficult for me because I like action. So that's what I could do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to go see a movie that I'm very excited to see called, I think it's called The Room Next Door. That's why we're having to cut this. I have a few minutes of wiggle room, but it's Tilda Swinton and Julianne Moore. And I'm very excited to see it.
Can't
and it, much of it is about that. It's about being the person that is with the person who's going through the thing and how in some ways, I mean, it's all hard. It's all hard. Things are hard. So I feel you. And I just want to, this is, I think, an instance in which thoughts and prayers, you know, like I really am trying to just like think positive thoughts and we can get through hard things and we can continue to get through hard things. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Love
so,
the answer. I love you guys.
I love you too. I do have one random thing.
Please.
I got Wordle on my first guess a couple weeks ago.
What?
My Wordle word was finally the Wordle word.
Stop. What was the word?
Stare.
S-T-A-I-R? Or
A-R-E.
Holy crap. What did you do?
I sent it to some friends and that was it. I think I posted it on Facebook or something.
We need to
it was like, it
throw
finally
you
happened.
A Wordle party.
It was exciting, but now I've had to change my word. But I will say that I almost want to go back to using that one because I feel like my new, I've been trading a few words out and none of them are as effective as that word. So even though if I use that, I'll never get it on the first try again. Yeah. I'm almost like, maybe I just go back to that one.
Okay, well, keep us updated. Oh,
anyway,
yeah,
that's
I love
all.
You
I'm
so
glad
much.
We had this time. I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about. Did we
Not,
do okay?
No, I think I have a lot more. So I think next episode I'll get to share.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back And yeah, Oscar nominations are this Thursday, so we'll at least know the nominees by our next conversation. All right. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, me too.
I really, you know, want Kate Winslet to get in there. We'll talk more about who's probably going to get in there next week. And yeah, talk to you later.
Sounds good. Yes. Okay,
All right, bye. I love you. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail.com. We'll be back next week.